At this point in the retreat, perhaps it's a good place to inform you, to let you know that it's okay for you to be at peace. It's okay to put down your burdens, stop rolling the boulder up the hill. It's okay for at least parts of the retreat for you to let up, put down some of your responsibilities, some of your doubts, some of your ambitions, some of your fears. It's okay to do this. It's also strategic to do this. It's a good Dharma strategy. It's a strategy to give yourself a gift, a really important, valuable gift, the gift of knowing yourself in a new way, the gift of experiencing yourself in a new way. Maybe it's a way that has something to teach you about how to live this life. Maybe it's a new way that helps you understand better what you have been doing. Maybe you understand that some of the things that you've been carrying on your shoulders or engaged in doing, concerned with, maybe are not necessary to, or maybe the new way teaches you that, yes, some of them are necessary, but you don't have to be carrying them every minute that you're alive. So there's a path that we're following here, a path that leads to this new way of knowing ourselves, knowing this world that we live in. And on one hand, it's the process of insight meditation is a process of deconstructing the constructed world. There's a word in Pali called sankhara. It's often translated as conditioned. And I think that even though there's some wisdom to translating that way, I think it misses the full import of this important word. I prefer to translate it as constructed. And that happens to be that the English word constructed, the etymology of it, is the same etymology for the Pali word sankhara. To put together, to make together, to build together different things. And in the course of being born and learning this about this world, we inherit, sometimes we inherit a culture. And a culture is just a particular way that a group of people have constructed their way of being together. And we internalize this structure, this construction. We have life experiences, our family has life experiences that contribute to familial constructions. We go out into the world and we continue the construction of ourselves, who we are, the world around us, constructing the nature of the relationships we're in. And some of these constructions are clearly constructions that bring suffering. They're built on foundations, karmic foundations, that themselves are painful. And so when we begin looking at suffering and we begin deconstructing it, in this dependent arising schema, we start with the most complicated ways of suffering and we slowly deconstruct it. Not so much that we're inspecting it, dissecting it, pulling it apart, but mostly we're allowing it to dissolve under the gaze of still, quiet, non-reactive awareness. We begin to just see what's there in a new way. And then slowly we go through these layers of grief, lamentation, pain, despair, anguish, to seeing how it's built on a layer of selfing, identity, attachment, maybe a full-blown commitment to greed, hatred, and delusion. And we look and see and don't react and don't participate in this construction. It begins to dissolve when we see how it begins, how we see the constructing process, the becoming. And then we see the compulsion underneath that. And that dissolves a bit, and we start seeing the thirst. And that dissolves a bit and slows down, calms down. And we start seeing the underlying feeling tones that maybe the compulsion arises out of, the thirsting arises out of. And so it's a process of the deconstructing or simplifying, calming the construction, quieting down the constructing activity. And that's a complicated way of saying that we allow ourselves to become peaceful, calm, quiet, still. And some people experience calming, stillness, peacefulness as they meditate, and they don't realize it's a deconstructing process, that they're letting up as they quiet their mind down, all the activity of the mind. They're quieting down the constructions. But if you don't see it happening to some degree, understand it, then it's very easy to unconsciously later bring all the constructions back in and not understand how we end up suffering again. But this process of step by step, slowly understanding, seeing, recognizing these steps gives us understanding to see how this, the reconstruction begins. It also gives us an opportunity to maybe reconstruct our world in a more better way, a better way, a way that doesn't have so much suffering in it. We don't have to be, the construction of our world doesn't have to be left to chance or instinct or just whatever's a habit or the easy thing to do. The more we be deconstructed, the more we can be wise about the reconstruction. But it's a process of calming down, getting peaceful and quiet. And that process can go further and further to deeper and deeper levels of stillness, of non-reactivity, of just seeing, clarity, quiet, less and less thinking. At some point, people say, well, isn't this enough? Or, you know, this is maybe getting kind of boring here, just hanging out here in a calm space. And it is, maybe, just to hang out in a calm space. But the idea is not to be complacent, but to continue that process, to go further into the deepening. And then on the other side, for the liberative dependent arising, that kind of matches the deconstruction process. As the fist, tight fist is released, the open hand feels nice. As some of the attachments lessen, initially it gives, we get the proof that letting go, relaxing, non-reacting is a good thing. It's good to suffer less. Less suffering is better than more suffering. And if we can let go a little bit and suffer less, that can give birth to faith. And faith is a really useful quality, confidence, because it gives purpose and meaning to a life. It provides an orientation, direction. Oh, this is what I can do. In all the many infinite things a person can do with a life, and all the different demands and all the seductions of the world, and good causes to do, to have faith. And yes, this path to work through how suffering occurs, to come to the other side of suffering, this is worthwhile. And to then, with that kind of faith, something can relax and settle. Some anxiety, some doubt can settle. Feeling of lost can settle. And something relaxes. Delight and joy can arise. And the sense of goodness, of delight and joy, can also be very reassuring. Oh, this is good, this is right, this is... And so more of the constructions of running around, fixing, attacking, that the constructing mind does, can be put to rest for a while. And we have an alternative. We start feeling... really start feeling and knowing ourselves in a different way, knowing ourselves without anxiety, without a feeling of lack or feeling lost or feeling something that sometimes drives the compulsive constructions. So reconditioning. And then to experience, to let this kind of settling and quieting go further and become tranquil, to feel a kind of very nourishing tranquility, like sweet nectar, coursing through your veins. And then as the practice goes further, that tranquility can transform itself to a deep sense of well-being. And remarkably, it almost comes from doing less, not more. It doesn't come from making something and constructing something. It comes from a kind of deep sense of health, psychological, spiritual health, a sense of harmony that begins to come arise, an absence of conflict, becoming more whole in ourselves. So in both these lists, there's a kind of quieting, calming movement. One is clearly a deconstruction process, because that's what it mostly is, what we've talked about so far, constructing, building, creating. In the Dharma stream, we're not constructing anything, but it's more like we're opening the stream to flow. Whatever was blocking the stream now can begin flowing through us. And it's more like this Dharma stream flows and gets stronger and fills us out. It's more something to allow. And many of us will trip ourselves up by getting attached to some of this as it comes along and trying to make it happen. Go to the next retreat and try to have the same experience again. And this is pretty much human nature to do this. So if you've done that, come back to the next sitting and try to repeat what happened the previous one. If you've done that, you're in good company. Meditators have been doing that for centuries. Great meditators have done it on their way to mastering their meditation. So it's just part of the territory to work through and not get tripped up on, not build big stories. And be just matter of fact, simple about it. Don't construct a lot of stuff on top of it. Just, oh, there I am, trying to repeat what I had happened yesterday. Okay, well, maybe I don't need to do it. Kind of simple. Stay simple. So as we get further down in both lists, things get simpler and simpler. And on the Dharmic stream, the thing that supports this greater simplicity that begins allowing for deeper seeing, it allows insight to happen, allows us to see in a new way. And it's new because it's seeing without the filter of all the constructions. Seeing, you know, clearly. And the thing that really allows this process to go further in the Dharmic stream is called samadhi. Concentration, often it's said in English. But samadhi is a state of being. Samadhi is not a laser focus of the mind. There might be a strong focus as part of it, but the salient experience of samadhi is a state of being that feels very settled, stable, harmonized, unified. And with a technical term, cozy. It can come in other ways. People can use laser focus or strong kind of, and strain and a little bit and have tension in their concentration. And that can be useful sometimes. Some people do get concentrated that way, but it tends not to be useful. It tends to be a dead end to do that way. One of the first things I learned when I went to Thailand to practice, just kind of informally, I was talking to some, I think a monk, and he said that the way to get concentrated is just to let go. That was a new idea to me, just let go. And I think that what happens is that it's the constructions we live under, all the complicated constructions that fragment us, that agitate us. And as we let go of the fragmentating structures, constructions, everything settles in together. You can stay clear and mindful. All the different disparate parts of who we are settle in together. Become bedfellows together, cozy and nice and harmonious. And so it's partly, you know, I've often said this, that I feel that when I get well concentrated, samadhi, I feel like it's a gift. What a great gift. I usually don't feel like I was responsible for it, more than just creating the conditions that supported it. And what this samadhi allows is deeper stillness, this deeper singleness of mind, a mind that's really stable, able to hold the course. This is where the single focus kind of thing has some importance. The ability to just hold the attention on something, unwavering, to be present with our whole being for what an experience is, to be close to it, and let it really take it in fully. What is this experience? Take our time with it, see it, and settle in, as if there's nothing else to do but be here for this experience. Nowhere else to go or attain or experience. Just with this, just here. A steadying of the mind, a stillness of the mind, clarity of the mind, unwavering of the mind, and non-distractibility of the mind. The mind's not going to wander off. In strong states of samadhi, it's clear, very clear, that the mind is not wandering off. That'll come later. And so there's a process of the dharmic stream. Things are getting quieter and quieter, stiller and stiller. And so there too, there's less and less constructions going on. And so these two streams can be seen as kind of two sides of the same coin, a little bit. That both involves the kind of different perspectives of seeing this deconstruction process. And it's not an easy process to do. Sometimes along the way of this deconstruction, we bump into things that are quite painful, quite difficult. And then we experience something that's called dharmic pain. Or path pain. Pain that has to do with necessary pain to work through and to see and to be with, that you just have to experience. There's no need to analyze it but just, okay, this comes with the territory. So at some point, when things are quiet enough, deconstructed enough, where there's so little interpretation of our experience, so little stories putting on top of it, so little even concepts that we put on top of things, that we begin experiencing the building blocks upon which, or the foundation upon which, we construct our world. All worlds that people construct are built on these same building blocks. What they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they taste, what they feel tactically with their body, and what they know in their mind. At this very, very simple, simple kind of sensation level. So not that we see a table, we see color, shape. Not that we feel an in-breath, because that's just a concept we overlay on particular experience. We don't experience an in-breath. What we're really experiencing is movements of the belly and the chest, perhaps, expansion, pressure, tautness. Kind of these particular sensations, that's what's underlying the concept we put over it of in-breath. We have this concept of a hand, but if you sit quietly with your eyes closed, the experience of the hand is not the concept. The experience of the hand is the sensations that are buzzing around in the hand. And the sensations by themselves don't lend themselves to a very clear sense of the hand has boundaries and edges. It's a little bit the constructing mind that constructs the idea of hand that holds very clear boundaries or edges. So we learn that in our social life, this can be very helpful sometimes, to see that we are seeing our friend through our concepts. And maybe we don't see our friend as our friend actually is. We're seeing them how they were last week. Maybe they were sick, so you offered sympathy. This week they're healthy, and you're offering sickening sympathy, because you carry with you that concept of how it should be. So it's learning to see the difference between concepts and the direct building blocks of sensations is very powerful. Helps us to be wiser about how we go through this world. But as a strategy for insight practice, the point is not to here to better interpret or understand the world, but the purpose is to use these, partly to use this raw basic sensations as a support for the mind to have enter in deeper in samadhi. Because there's so little concepts and interpretation stories that we're putting on top of our experience, the mind is less busy. So we're doing less work. More of our mental, spiritual energies are available to just be present for this experience, this in-breath. Not even the in-breath, we don't call it that anymore. This pressure and movement and tautness on the exhale, this release, movement, easing up, softness, stillness. This feeling of maybe the breath is jagged, maybe it's smooth, this jaggedness, this smoothness. These sensations of pleasantness and unpleasantness in the breathing. But we don't call it breathing anymore, except if you come to interview and have to say something a little bit, give it some general sense what we're talking about. But in sitting, it becomes simpler and simpler, just here. And the brain, the mind is freed up from needing to do the work and construct everything, to hold things as solid. And the concepts we have, or the constructing, is what gives a kind of solidity and hardness and that begins to dissolve into a world of sensations arising and passing away. It's the nature of sensations to be fleeting. The closer you get, the more still you become, the closer you kind of just get absorbed in the world of these sensations. You start seeing that it's the concepts that gives them a sense of permanence or constancy. And in and of themselves, they dance around. They appear and disappear, arise and pass. So in the ordinary dependent arising, the condition that gives rise to feeling tone is called contact. And contact is, it's kind of a shorthand or one way of saying, it's the moment when sensations arise, just when sensations begin and pass away, that the initial appearance, when contact is made to a sensation, to a sound, to a smell, a taste, tactile sensation, mind experience, the simplest kind of initial contact. Samadhi at this point is preparing itself to be so peaceful and subtle and quiet that what it starts experiencing is the arising and passing of sensations. And so here we see these two lists coming together. So it's okay to be peaceful. It's okay to be calm, to put down your burdens. It's okay to stop pushing the boulder up the hill, to put down your responsibilities. It's okay to put down your stories about yourself. It's okay to give yourself a break and breathe easily and lightly and softly. It's okay to come to a kind of rest with yourself. And I know it's not easy to do this. But how often do you hear that you have permission to do it? If you're getting permission, you know, every day someone's giving you permission to deeply, deeply put down it all and be restful, then I apologize for saying so again. But if it's pretty rare that you've actually heard this, please, I beg of you, please be careful not to protest until the retreat's over. It's the nature of the constructing mind at some point to protest and come up with all kinds of ideas why this can't be and why I'm not capable of this or the Buddha, Gil, whatever, doesn't understand how it really is here for me. Please be very careful with these kinds of conclusions. You're way too important to live under those conclusions. You're way too beautiful, precious, valuable to spend time with any kind of thought that diminishes your value and your importance and your beauty. It's okay for these days here to take a risk, to relax and settle, or at least to ease up, to soften and lighten up around some of these deep, difficult constructions that many of us can have. It's okay to begin to move towards peace, settledness. It's okay to give yourself over to samadhi. It's okay to become so singularly focused on doing this practice that it becomes everything for you. Just the practice. This is the time, here, now. If you need to relax your belly, soften it. It's always a good thing to do. If you need to release the tension in your hands and your forearms, it's always a good thing to do. If you can soften your shoulders, it's always a good thing to do. If you can relax the forehead and around the eyes, it's a good thing to do. If you can soften and relax the thinking muscle, it's a good thing to do. And if you can allow yourself the ability to rest in this wonderful Dharma field of sensations, the Dharma fields of the simple experience of coming and going, rising and passing, flowing, sparking, wave-like sensations that pass through. Fascinated by how sometimes the sensations come and go, and sometimes it's the mind's attention that leaves the sensation behind. Goes on to the next thing, and you're no longer in touch with the first sensation. In a kind of way, it disappeared because you were no longer focused on it. This wonderful play between your ability to be focused, attentive, and watch the rising and passing, and the mind's capacity to go on to something else, and then you're no longer with the first thing. Anyways, it's a fascinating world. Settle into a simple, simple world. You're allowed to be very simple. And I encourage you to take time to do that. So, you know, some extended period of time where you try to this radical simplicity. You don't enter into the world of complicated concepts like washing dishes. Or something like that. So one possibility, if you'd like, is to take a sitting, a walking in a sitting period, like a big block like that, and try to stay really close. Stay close in to your samadhi bubble. Stay close in to that place where sensations begin, where contact is made, where the initial contact of sight, seeing something occurs, where hearing occurs, a particular sound that happens, touch occurs, smell occurs, taste occurs, and then knowing very, very simply what arises in the mind, a thought. Just let it be just a thought. It could be the worst thought anyone's ever thought in the world, history. In samadhi, just let it be a thought and let it appear and disappear. No need to do anything more. Simple, simple, simple. May you feel the call, the welcome, the invitation. Come and see at this really deep level underneath all the constructions. Come and see and rest here, settle here. And this will allow the Dharma stream to keep flowing in new ways that we'll see, you'll see at some point. May you stay close to your sensations, close to your mindfulness. Conduct yourself at the speed of mindfulness, so you can stay close to this, intimate, tender, gentle, present, here, now. Thank you very much.